Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Storytelling Time. My name is William Porter. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your word that provides a guide for all our lives, and help us to believe that word, to truly believe that what you say will ultimately come to pass. In Jesus' name, amen. The word of inspiration for today is the following scripture, John chapter 11, verse 26. It says, "Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? The show today is the conclusion of the Going Home series and is taken from the fifth chapter of the book Life in the Spirit. The title of today's story is Helping Mom. While much of the story still has a focus on Jean, a great deal of the narrative involves daughter Sonia, especially during the days when she was unemployed and became an active manager of her mother's daycare when she became too sick to run it. With Sonia's help, as well as niece Jill and daughter Bee on occasion, and of course husband Al, Jean continued her daycare operation throughout most of the winter. But by late February, she had become increasingly tired of the daily responsibilities that the daycare was placing on her. Of course, Jean had help in Sonia, and Al continued to help whenever he could. But Jill had found a full-time job and therefore could not help out on a regular basis as she had done before. This left most of the operation of the daycare in the hands of Sonia. So, by early spring in the months of March and April, Jean had the answer to who would take over her daycare, and it would be her daughter, Sonia. Sonia had been working as an accountant at a private firm where she had been on since she left college. She had a good salary, but there was a lot of responsibility and therefore a lot of stress associated with her job. So, she was eager to give it up to obtain a lateral position somewhere else that was less stressful but with greater long-term benefits. Sonia eventually applied for a state government position in hopes of getting a similar job that she already had. Friction soon developed between Sonia and her supervisor about the prospects of her leaving. Well, that was understandable because both parties had a desire for Sonia being in an improved job situation. At least that was how Sonia looked at it. But her supervisor preferred that Sonia remain at her current job. Well, Sonia didn't want to hear that, so she continued her job search elsewhere. Sonia eventually lost her accounting job that she had since she left college and had become among the unemployed. She was devastated and often joked about moving in with her parents. Jean's other daughter, Bee, already had an accountant position with the state. But now Sonia was out of work, so she was able to help her mother at the daycare on a full-time basis. Well, praise the Lord for that. Sonia realized that her mother really needed her at the time, so the period of unemployment was actually a blessing in disguise. Sonia was able to provide the help that her mother sorely needed. Nevertheless, Sonia had her own challenges because now, being among the unemployed, she saw no job options for the foreseeable future. Being impressed with the job her sister Bee had with the state government, Sonia decided to apply to a state agency who was advertising a position in her work area. To Sonia, this prospect was too good to refuse, at least to refuse to even apply, because after all, she currently had no source of income. All of a sudden, the thought of moving in with her parents was not an unreasonable option. Then she quickly came to her senses and said to herself, "Let me apply for this job and stop messing around." So she did just that. She applied. Suddenly, she finally became more confident that God would be working, in this instance, on her behalf. "Hallelujah! I receive, by faith, my new job," she proclaimed. Yes, she was claiming something she didn't have at the moment, following Mark 11:24. Sonia found solace in the fact that even with no job, she was making things better for her mother. And she realized that a spiritual principle would be in effect. And that is, when you help someone with their problem, eventually it will come back to you and you will be helped in some way. Over the next several weeks, during the months of March, April, and May, Sonia worked full-time at her mother's daycare. Of course, Al helped her, as he did with Jean. While managing the daycare, as well as taking care of her mother, Sonia waited patiently for a response from the state government about the accountant position she had applied to. But the important thing was that she was there helping her mother in the daycare. Jean loved children, although they were a challenge for her sometimes, as she expressed once when she had the responsibility of keeping some kids at the church.
"Some children, you know, you just cannot work with. Them children, I guess they got on my nerves so bad at church today, because every time you look around, one of them had to go to bed. And then one of them walked from war. Put it down. Yeah, who get some toys for him?
But it wasn't at the church where it was most challenging for Jean to work with children. It was caring for the babies she had at her daycare center. In the coming weeks, Jean would lack the stamina to operate the daycare without help. So Sonia, who also loved to work with children, was there for her mother, doing the daily chores of running the daycare. Jean would spend much of the time lying on the bed resting in the back bedroom while Sonia took care of the babies. By the month of June, Sonia had become one of the finalists for the position that she had applied for and was very pleased with the way things were going in her job prospects. In the meantime, her mother was not feeling as well as before and finally realized she needed to go to the hospital for further tests. At home, Jean considered getting a walker or a wheelchair, but realized that their home was not made for wheelchair accommodations. On a Sunday evening, Jean convinced Al that she needed to go to the hospital. They packed some clothing and went to the local hospital where she had been receiving medical treatments. Jean had resumed her treatments there about a month earlier, and when she arrived at the hospital that Sunday evening, she met with her doctors who did additional tests. Al, Sonia, and younger daughter B were all hopeful that after a short stay in the hospital and with treatments, that Jean could go home and ponder opening another daycare center. Yes, by this time she had decided to close the daycare she had opened and operated since November and had informed the baby's parents of her decision. She gave away the many items she had accumulated at the center, and Al had ended the lease on the rental house. 2 days passed with Jean being in the hospital and having another physical examination on Tuesday. Early Wednesday morning, Jean's pastor had met with her and the daughters. By that time, Jean was unresponsive and appeared to be in a deep sleep. The pastor had conversation with the daughters and prayed for a while before leaving for another appointment. Al arrived at the hospital later that morning and saw Jean at that time. And at that time, Al met with Sonia and B, who had stayed overnight. When the doctor returned to the room, he told Al, Sonia, and B the anemia had become more severe and that they could no longer treat her. When the doctors gave this information, Al and his daughters cried and cried because they realized that they could do nothing else for Jean. The news the doctors delivered concerning Jean was not quite as shocking to Al because Jean had told him a day or so earlier, as she was lying in bed, in the absence of Sonya and B, that the doctors had told her that she had only 6 months to live. In hearing this news from Jean herself, Al was perplexed. He certainly didn't want to agree with that prognosis, because both his faith and that of Jean didn't allow for that kind of negative emotion. You might ask the question, what was the evidence of Jean's faith? At least to Al, it was in the fact that she prayed on her knees every night before bed. But does someone effectively offer up a prayer in this way? And how is a prayer offered? The answer to that is that your spirit should be the decision maker. You should be led by the Spirit. And as for Jean, she was led by the Spirit to pray on her knees, as apparently the Spirit never led Al to do that. At any rate, Jean knew that in God, there is always hope, in her estimation. At the same time, the both of them understood that doctors are placed on this earth for a purpose, and that purpose is to treat those who are sick and, in Jean's case, honor her request to be completely honest with her about her condition. So, Al had information that his daughters didn't have, but everyone was devastated about the situation, nonetheless. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back in a minute. Greetings. My name is William Porter. First of all, I'm an author and write inspirational books. And in particular, I write about the experiences people have that are unusual, extraordinary, and sometimes even miraculous. To date, I've published 3 books. Life in the Spirit is my first book, and it's a compilation of 15 short stories, true stories of personal experiences. And with many of these experiences, the people I've talked to truly believe that they are divinely influenced. Heaven Can't Wait is my 2nd book and is a fictional account about how the lead character, a young woman, by searching for the man of her dreams, tries to find that proverbial heaven on earth. Of course, the various characters in this book, including the lead character, had a lot of pitfalls in pursuing this quest. Whether the goal was for fortune, fame, or, like the book's lead character, Maggie, getting the man of her dreams. My 3rd and most recent book is entitled Miracles in the Lives of Ordinary People, which, like my 1st book, is a non-fictional account of people's experiences. And I'm announcing today that my 4th book will be coming out soon, and it's a sequel to my 2nd book, Heaven Can't Wait. You don't want to miss this novel to find out what happened to Maggie, that young woman who is the lead character. The 2nd thing I do professionally is provide workshops for beginning writers and prospective authors. So if you're interested in writing your own book, I can help. Think about it. What better way to document your family's history, for example, than by having a permanent written record in the form of a book? And then the 3rd thing I do is that I'm the host of my own radio show, Storytelling Time, which airs from 6 o'clock to 6:30 a.m. Eastern Time every Monday on the Every.Black web channel. On this show, I recite portions of the stories in my books, but I also conduct interviews with entrepreneurs about how God is a reality in their lives, especially as it relates to their business. My motto with respect to the books I've written is in the form of a question. And that question is, wouldn't you like to read some good news for a change? You know, there's so much bad news out there. It's difficult for anyone to remain positive these days and to be uplifted. And that's what my books are all about. Compelling stories that are uplifting and inspirational. So, if you'd like more information about what I do professionally, visit my website at williamporterlife.com. And my email address is waporter4995 info@yahoo.com. So remember, despite your current situation, there's always more good things coming your way. Have a great day. Welcome back. Jean's doctor had informed Al and the daughters that Jean might not make the trip home if they would decide to take her back where she lived. So the doctor said that the hospital was more than willing to keep Jean to spare the family the expense and the inconvenience of taking her back home. But Al and the daughters wanted Jean to be home, if only for a little while. Nonetheless, the doctors encouraged the family to have Jean remain in the hospital. But Al and the two daughters decided that if she was going to pass on, then it would be better if she did so at home. So, later that afternoon, Jean was taken back home. Al had prepared their house earlier in the week based on instructions given by the local hospice, who had been working with the situation for the last few days, anticipating Jean's return to her home. By this time, Al had communicated with hospice to determine what kind of services they provide. One of the items that turned out to be very helpful that this group supplied was a small adjustable bed that could be lowered and raised for the convenience and comfort of Jean. Earlier in the day, Al had moved the large king-size bed that was kept in the master bedroom to the guest bedroom on the opposite end of the house. There was a smaller bed in the guest bedroom that Al had transferred to the master bedroom earlier. He would sleep on this bed next to Jean that night, and Jean would be on the bed that was brought into the room earlier by hospice personnel. The daughters would sleep on the king-size bed that Al had moved earlier into the guest bedroom on the opposite end of the house. Sonia and Bea were over by about 9 that night, where they settled in the guest bedroom. After a long day, they attempted to get as much rest as possible, without much success. But eventually, they would fall asleep, and later that evening, they started to make regular visits to the master bedroom to care for their mother. The first visit was about 11, and they stayed for about 10 minutes, rubbing their mother's forehead and caring for her. At this point, Jean appeared to continue in a deep sleep. After a few minutes of doing this, the daughters returned to the guest bedroom to sleep a little. While the girls were sleeping, Al, not being able to sleep much at all, would occasionally rub Jean's arm. But she was unaware and unresponsive to his actions, as she was sound asleep. After a while, the daughters returned to care for their mother again at about 2 in the morning. And as before, they cared for their mother for a few minutes, then returned to the guest bedroom to sleep a little. They came back for a third and final time at about 5, just prior to daybreak. During these periodic visits by the daughters to the master bedroom to care for their mother, Al had been in the bedroom all during the night with Jean as she laid on a small bed beside where he laid. He noticed that as the night grew into morning, the length of time between her breaths was getting longer and longer. As he laid on his bed beside Jean during these early morning hours, he thought that Jean's next breath could be her last. He then reasoned to himself that if Jean were to pass on, then he would need to rush out of that room to wake his daughters up to let them know, something that he did not want to do or was looking forward to doing. But the way it turned out, Jean continued to breathe those long, deep breaths as the daughters came into the room to care for their mother at about 5. As they approached the narrow hallway leading to the bedroom where their mother laid, they heard her take unusually loud breaths. And once they entered the room, Jean took about 3 more breaths. Just prior to this time, Jean's head was turned toward Al and away from Sonya and B, who were on the other side of the bed and who had briefly turned their heads away from their mother. That's when Al saw Jean suddenly open her eyes. Yes, they were open wide, staring directly into his eyes. He saw her eyes open for the first time since she had been in the hospital, except when she was briefly awake, maybe 2 days prior, when she told him of the doctor's final prognosis. But more than that, they were open wider than he had seen them over the past several days. They were open for only a few seconds, then she closed them again. Al later said that he took this as a sign from Jean saying, in essence, "I'm okay, Al. Believe me, I'm okay." As she had told him when they were home one day. Yes, he thought about the time back at home near the bedroom closet when she told him that she felt better than she had been in a while. So, in his spirit, Al knew that Jean was okay. She took another 2 breaths or so, with the last breath being her longest. Jean's passing was peaceful, as she desired not a violent death such as from drowning, as she once expressed to Al. A major blessing at this point was that Jean's passing was very peaceful, not only for her, but also for Al and for daughters Sonya and B. There was an unexplainable peace that prevailed the room at that time. Scripture promises that for the believer, there is no pain in passing since the taste of death has been taken away, sort of like anesthesia in the hospital before surgery. But the sting of death remains for those who are aware of what may be taking place. To those listed as survivors. As the scripture indicates, the pain of death is the penalty for sin being introduced to humankind. Nevertheless, beyond that, no one has an idea of the good things that await all of us as believers after such a transition that Jean had experienced. It was at the time of Jean's final transition when Al and the daughters were at their lowest point in this natural human existence, when the Holy Spirit was there to comfort them. Yes, in weakness, they were made strong. Hebrews 11:34 and Romans 8:26. Jean's transition was peaceful based on her countenance at the time. She appeared to have peacefully fallen asleep with no apparent pain or displeasure. Jean had certainly overcome all that she had been through. Al and daughters internalized their feelings of grief and expressed only silent tears as Jean passed from this natural existence to a supernatural, spiritual life that awaits all believers. We'll return after a break to close the show.
Do you want to read some good news for a change? With all the things going on in the world today, it's refreshing to find good news. Well, Dr. William Porter has written 3 books that include a bit of intrigue, drama, and yes, a little romance, among other things in the storyline. So if you like biblically based, spiritually focused stories, do yourself a favor and read some inspiring accounts of people's experiences that may be considered extraordinary and in some cases even miraculous. Dr. Porter has written 3 books based on real life experiences, some of which are his own, and others have been communicated to him from those who have agreed to share their stories. Life in the Spirit was his first book, which is a nonfiction collection of short stories documenting people's experiences that they believe to be unique, unusual, and what Dr. Porter calls extraordinary. Heaven Can't Wait is his second book, which is a fictional novel. A third book is another non-fictional account of a collection of short stories that is titled Miracles in the Lives of Ordinary People. For more information, visit the website williamporterlife.com. He also can be contacted at the email address waporter4995@yahoo.com. So do yourself a favor and read some good news for a change.
Welcome back. Shortly after Jean's passing, the emotion of the moment gave way to the responsibilities that surviving family members are usually faced with after the passing of a loved one. One of the things Al and the daughters had to do was to contact the local fire department to bring the coroner in to confirm what they already knew. And soon after that, the local funeral director arrived to transport the body for final arrangements. Al and the daughter spent the next few days planning for a service for Jean. Within 2 to 3 days, they discussed how the final arrangements would be done. Then, they went by the funeral home to make these arrangements, discussing various details with the mortician. In the middle of this discussion, the older daughter, Sonia, received a phone call. It was from the state agency she had applied to for the job she wanted to get, and she was told that she had been selected for the job. "What? I got the job?" Sonia shouted. What would ordinarily have been an exciting moment for Sonia was much less so because it came on the same day that she was helping to finalize arrangements for her mother. Despite the adversity, Sonia was able to conduct the business she had to complete in order to get the job she really wanted. No doubt one reason she was able to function so efficiently at such a troubling time was that she remembered her mother's words to the both of them, and that was to become more independent and spend more time developing your own lives. Jean had indicated to them that God put every one of us on this earth for a purpose, and it's our responsibility to God to complete that purpose, regardless of the adversity we may be facing. Nonetheless, Al, Sonia, and Bea knew from Jean talking with them that they don't face the issues of life alone, but God is always present to help guide them through whatever issue they may have. Not only that, but they knew that while their mother lived in the present, she always had a tendency to look forward and not to look back to the past. She knew that it was in the future where we're all headed, and she knew who holds the future. Sonia was comforted knowing that their mother wanted them to deal effectively with the future and, in Sonia's case, to pursue the job that she desired to have. As with Al, they all had to compose themselves to plan the memorial service, which was a peaceful ceremony celebrating Jean's natural life here on Earth. While in our physical existence on the Earth, death will always be a mystery, and its sting is something we never get used to. But, as with the sting of a bee, the hurt dissipates with time, and to the believer, death is only a transition into God's kingdom, God's everlasting kingdom that is yet to come and, in a very real sense, is already within us. Life in the Spirit reminds us of that kingdom. It is up to us to believe it. Yes, Jean had cried her last tear, and she had overcome her illness. Overcome, you might wonder, but she's gone, is the thought that might linger in the natural mind. Yes, in the natural, that's true. She's gone. That is, her physical body is gone. Gone eventually back to the earth. But we serve a supernatural God, and it is His Spirit that continues to live within her, making her ever more conscious than our natural minds could ever conceive. Yes, Jean knew there was nothing too hard for God, including giving her a new spiritual body at her transition. Yes, at last, she was taken to the King.
Thank you. ups and downs. Don't know how much more I can take. See, I decided that I cried my last tears yesterday. Either I'm gonna trust you, or I may as well walk away. Stressing don't make it better. Don't make it better, no way. See, I decided that I cried my last tears yesterday. Yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah.
I'm all churched out.
hurt and abused. I can't fake what's left to do.
Come on.
Truth is I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry. Even if I tried, but still my soul refuses to die. Mm-hmm. One touch will change my life. Take me to the King. I don't have much to breathe. My heart's torn. My offering.